If you've been tuning in with us, you know that we started a series back in October on healing. And the series is called Healing, Your Gift from God. Now, we're up to part 14. And tonight, we're speaking again on speaking. And this is part two. Last week, I was here and shared the beginning of that message on speaking. And tonight, we're going to conclude with it. But if this is your first time tuning in to hear our Wednesday night services, then I encourage you to go back to our website and go back to October when you will find part one, and you can start from there and come forward to get the foundation and beginning information on the subject of healing. So we always start off with doing our declaration, and then I'll do a quick review. So I encourage you to speak this declaration daily, and here it is. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. And we have three anchor scriptures, all from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Don't you know I love doing that? Okay. And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus Christ will surround you. And then the third one, Romans 8:10-11. Now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. So, let's take a few minutes to do a quick review from last message. And we expounded upon unbelief, and then I went into speaking. And the two kinds of unbelief that we talked about, okay, understanding is the fact that they can be have very negative effects on our lives. So the first type of unbelief is having a lack of knowledge. The cure for this is to simply take Jesus as your healer and obtain knowledge of the Word of God on the subject of healing. And the second type of unbelief is when one is unpersuadable or disobedient to the knowledge that they do have of the Word. We need to be rid of any doubt, fear, or unbelief. And we can do this by allowing the Word of God to govern our lives and then simply obey it. Remember, when you operate in unbelief, you will not be able to enter into the rest of God. Now, in last week's message, we began looking at speaking, all right? We talked about believing, then unbelief, and then speaking. And in that message, we talked about how critical our words are. We have to believe plus speak to experience the supernatural. That's the formula we've been following as we're talking about believing. Now, we looked at Psalm 91, not gonna turn there, I'm just gonna do a summary. Psalm 91 with the promise of long life and having many good years on this earth. This promise is ours, and we get to decide when we want to go home to be with the Lord. Each of us has to settle it in our hearts that Jesus is the healer, period. That's simple. We looked at 2 Corinthians 4:13 from the New King James, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. I'm going to come back to that when we get in tonight's message. From Proverbs 18:21, New King James. We saw that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I love the Passion Translation because it's very blunt, and it says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. I think that says it so succinctly. We also looked at Mark 11:23 and saw that the importance of speaking, which was mentioned three times in that scripture, but believing was mentioned only once. we speak to our mountains with great faith. We don't talk about them. We don't speak about them. We speak to them. We don't tell God about how big the problem is. We speak to the problem and tell it how big our God is. Amen. And then we looked at Job 22:28, and I'm going to read it only from in the voice. It says, "You will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so." You get what you say. You pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. So the word of God has the power to establish a thing, but only if it is spoken. And remember, I said that when we speak the word of God, it's the same as if God was speaking it himself. So God wants to perform his word for us, but it comes only if we speak his word. He watches over his word, or you could say he listens to our words in order to perform them. If God doesn't hear anything from us, then the outcome will be zero. He needs to hear us speak. So when we speak the word of God in the area of healing, and we speak it in faith with understanding, we will see a harvest of healing and health. The word of God is seed. We talked about that. It needs to be watered after it has been planted. Remember I talked about my tomato plant, and that if I didn't water that plant every day, it would die? Your heart is the soil where it is planted. But the watering happens as we continue to speak. When we speak the word of God, we are washing ourselves or others with the water of the word. We saw this in Hebrews 10, 19 to 23, and Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. Remember, pure water is the word of God. We looked at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22, learning that the word is health to all our flesh. And the voice translation says it brings wholeness and healing to our bodies. So direct, okay? And to not speak it is unfortunate that people don't even know about that, that is what it will do. It brings wholeness and healing to our bodies. We also looked at Matthew 4:4 last week. It reminds us that the word is what we are to live by because true life is found in each word of God. Now, we're going to look at Luke 1, 37 to 38. And last week, I read it from the Amplified, and I'm going to go over it again tonight. Luke 1, 37 to 38. And this is a scripture that I think any one of us can rely upon and go to and learn from. There's so much to glean from it. Luke 1, 37 to 38, and it says in the Amplified Classic, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Think about that verse. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible fulfillment. Now remember, Mary is being spoken to by the angel. She's a virgin. And she hears something that appears to be impossible. Verse 38, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said.'" According to your word, Lord, let it be done to me. And the angel left her. When we meditate on these two verses consistently, especially when facing what looks like an impossible situation, be like Mary and simply accept what was said to her. Now, that was her rhema word. It was her rhema word from God for that event in her life. And if you remember last week, I talked about the fact that sometimes God gives you a word for your situation. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? I believe that Mary exhibited great faith in these verses. Great faith. It doesn't talk about her faith, but I believe that that's exactly what she exhibited. So our review tonight is kind of a little bit longer, but now I'm going to move on to tonight's subject, because we did cover a lot of scriptures last week. And tonight I'm going to continue on the subject of speaking and start by talking about our voice activation and identification. Our voice activation and identification. Each one of us has an individual fingerprint that belongs only to us and nobody else. You've had your fingerprints taken. They identify you. Think about that. Now, nobody in this entire earth has your fingerprint. Every human being has their own individual fingerprint. Even twins. You have twins, triplets, okay? They have different fingerprints. You think to yourself, how is this possible? You know, billions of people in this little configuration on the tip of a finger is different in every one of us. God is so amazing, isn't he? Love him. Now, the same is true of our eyes. We can be identified by looking into a device and given access to something or someplace with our eyes. You look into this device and it identifies you, and you can unlock the door or equipment of whatever, okay? Begin to realize how individualized God made you. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made, but continue to look at that, okay? It's not only our fingers, but our eyes. Now, that also applies to our voices. Science has determined that when a person speaks, it is their very own voice and nobody else's matches that voice, so that when you call your bank or you go to your investment firm, you can be identified with your voice. Voice recognition. They know who they are talking to. You line up when the first time you get into one of these, let's say a bank, you know, and you're first signing up, they get your voice, they put it on record, and then every time you call after that, they have voice recognition to verify that that's you. That's a good thing for security, okay? Our God is so cool. We have fingerprints, eyes, and voices. And you know, there might be something else down the road that scientifically they determine is individualized only to each person. So when I speak something, God is listening. Whether I speak something positive, negative, idle words, God hears me. So when I got saved, I did the speaking, and it was my spirit that went from death to life, not someone else's. God identifies me by my voice. And when I speak, pray, or talk to someone, God knows it is me, and I get what I say, not what somebody else says. I get what I say. So let me say it this way. Before we had voice activation, before man discovered this aspect of identification, God had his voice activation system already in place and working. 2,000 years ago, before the Bible, he heard people. He heard Mary. He heard Abraham. He heard us. Okay, and he knew who was speaking. Let's go to Matthew 12, 36 to 37. Matthew 12, I'm going to read it in three translations. New King James first, then the voice, then the passion. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Listen to it in the voice. I tell you this, on the day of judgment, people will be called to account for every careless word they have ever said. The righteous will be acquitted by their own words, and you evildoers will be condemned by your own words. Ouch. I did some repenting after listening to this, reminding myself of these scriptures. Listen to it in the passion. You can be sure of this. When the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Your very words will be used as evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. Now, based on these verses, I won't be judged for what you said, and you won't be judged for anything I said, because God knows my voice and he identifies my voice with everything I said, which is why it is so important for us to speak God's word. Because when he hears us speak his word, it's the same as if he's speaking it himself. Now, how many of you remember several years ago when Pastor Sarah made this profound revelation? I think it was even up on the marquee outside. She said, your future is not in God's hands. It's in your mouth. Remember that? Your future is not in God's hands. It's in your mouth. We kill or give life or create with our words. So we have said over the years that truth spoken will change facts that may be seen. Okay? The more you speak truth to a fact, it could be a symptom, could be a financial problem, okay? But the more you speak truth to that fact or that symptom, let's say, that symptom has to line up with the truth or the word of God that you spoke. You will never have more than your confession. You will never have more than your confession. And we also need to believe before we speak. So let's go to two scriptures on this topic. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We're going to go back there. It was in the beginning in the review. I just want to point out a sequence. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed first, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Our believing comes first. We have to believe something and then speak it. Now let's go to Romans 10:10. In the sequence, every one of us that's been born again, we had to believe first in our heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died for our sins, rose from the dead, and we had to ask him into our heart. So we believed first and then we spoke. Romans 10:10 in the New King James. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So once I have settled it in my heart and believe that Jesus is my healer, and once I begin to speak healing scriptures, I can expect my healing. I don't get bent out of shape or doubt whether I'm saved or not. My salvation is solid. Now, that's a topic, like somebody could challenge me and say, well, you know, prove to me you're saved. That could be challenging, right? But to me, I know it in my heart. So that's something that we each have to deal with in terms of our believing. God doesn't complicate healing. God manifests himself in the area in which we are willing to believe him. Remember, faith without works is dead. So faith is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. So when I'm speaking his word, I'm increasing my faith level. The more I hear myself speak God's word, the greater my faith will become. Let's turn to Exodus 17. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and then we're going to look at it in the voice. Exodus 17. Now, there's some core principles in what went on here. So, Exodus 17, 1 to 7 in the New King James. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. No water. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Positive bunch, huh? Verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. Verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the water, the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. You shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Feisty group. Now listen to it in the voice. The entire community of Israel traveled in stages out of the desert of Sin, just as the Eternal instructed. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there to quench their thirst. Once again, the people complained to Moses. And the Israelites said, give us water to drink. We're thirsty. Moses said, why do you aim your complaints at me? Why are you testing the Eternal One? Think about that. Complaining is testing God. But the people were so thirsty for water, they complained to Moses and leveled accusations against him. Why did you lead us out of Egypt? Was it to kill all of us, our children and livestock included, with this thirst? Moses had had enough of their complaints, so he cried out to the Eternal One. Moses said to him, what am I supposed to do with these people and their relentless complaining? They are on the verge of stoning me. And this is what God said to Moses. He said, here's what I want you to do. Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Also, be sure to bring your shepherd's staff, the one with which you struck the Nile. I'll be there when you arrive, standing at the rock of Horeb. I want you to strike the rock with your staff. Strike the rock with your staff, and when you do, water will flow out of it so that everyone will have enough to drink. The elders of Israel accompanied Moses and watched as he did what the Eternal directed. They saw this, okay? They watched as he struck the rock and they got their water. All right, now let's go. Let me just finish this. Moses named the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites complained and tested the Eternal, saying, is he standing with us or not? Now, Moses was obedient in these scriptures. Now, let's go over to Numbers 20, verses 7 to 13. I'm going to read it in the New King James and then the voice. All right? So, Moses is obedient. He hits the rock. They get the water. So these people watch this. They see this miracle in front of them. They see a miracle in front of them. Okay. So let's go over to Numbers 20, verses 7 to 13 in the New King James and then the voice. So in these scriptures, we see here once again, the Israelites were in a location where there was no water. And once again, they contended with Moses. Verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation. Speak to the rock before their eyes. So now God has given them different instructions. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. He was being pretty strong with them. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. But he was supposed to speak to it. Verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now I'm going to read those same verses in the voice. Starting at verse 7. And he spoke to Moses, eternal one. This is God speaking. He said, you and Aaron grab the staff before the covenant chest. Gather the whole group so that all the people can see and hear you, and speak to the rock. Tell it. Let's stop there for a minute. Tell it. Tell that rock to release its water for them to use. Here in the Old Testament, we're seeing what we have in the New Testament. We get to speak to a mountain, but they were told to do that in the Old Testament. Okay? Let me say that again. God said to them, speak to the rock, tell it, tell the rock to release its water for them to use. You tell, let's make this current for today with regards to healing. You tell your body to obey. You tell your body to function the way God created it to function. You tell your body that it is healed, the healed of the Lord, and it is not allowed to function any other manner. You tell your organs, whether it's your lungs, your intestines, or your pancreas, or your heart, or your circulation, you tell every organ in your body that it has to obey the word of God. So in this way, and then I'm going back to the scriptures now, in this way, you'll get water from the rock for everyone to drink, including all the animals. So Moses did that. He took the staff just as God told him to. Then he and his brother gathered all the people in front of the rock. And Moses to the Israelites, listen up, you rebellious lot. Should we get water for you from this rock? And as he spoke, Moses raised his hand and hit the rock twice. Once, twice, and immediately the water came gushing out. All drank their fill, people and animals alike. But the Eternal One scolded Moses and Aaron for their actions. And he said, because you didn't trust me and treat me as holy before the Israelites, you will not lead this group into the land I have given them. Because at this spot, the Israelites rebelled against the Eternal and the display of his holiness. The water here is called Meribah, which means rebellion. So God provided the water. He didn't let them go thirsty, okay? But the disobedience of Moses caused him to not be able to enter into the promised land. His disobedience interfered with what God had called him to do, and it short-circuited his obtaining the promise. So when you study this out, not what I'm going to get into tonight, but what basically kind of summarizing it, with Moses hitting the rock first and then hitting it in the second time instead of speaking to the rock, we see that God was intending for the speaking to open a new avenue for God to move through the speaking to a rock. God wanted this new avenue to be established to move through. Speaking to the rock was a different means of performing the miracle. Let me say that again. Speaking to the rock was a different means of performing the miracle. The spoken word was to be the vehicle of the miracle. The spoken word was to be the vehicle of the miracle. Speaking to things or our mountains, as we see in Mark 11, 23, is for us in the New Testament. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to speak to those mountains. Interesting that it was a rock. Rocks form a mountain, okay? Makes up a mountain. But that's what we're supposed to do in the New Testament. We're supposed to speak to things. So the spoken word is the vehicle of your miracle today. The spoken word is the vehicle for your miracle. Matthew 8, let's go to Matthew 8, 5 to 13, verses 5 to 13, the New King James. And we talked about this these verses when we, with the centurion back when we were also talking about speaking and so forth. But Matthew 8, 5 to 13, I want to emphasize a couple parts, New King James Version. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Okay, let me stop for 1 second. I will come and heal him. If you have doubts about whether or not it's the will of God to heal, just look at this verse along with others where Jesus is very willing to heal. We saw it with the leper. We saw it in so many cases. He wants to heal. There's no evidence that he says, no, I'm not going to, okay, I'm not going to do this. It's not my will to heal. No, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof, but only speak a word. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Let's look at this. Now, obviously, the centurion knew that whatever words Jesus spoke, they had to have power in them, power to heal. This centurion was convinced without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? So Jesus acknowledges this interaction with this centurion as great faith. Verse 9. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. As you have believed. Jesus saw his faith. So let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So when we previously looked at this scripture, this was also one that talked about this person believed and he spoke. Okay. So I wish that we had some documentation that told us what Jesus said. Because the centurion says to him, just speak the word. All right. But once again, the formula of believe and speak leads to a miracle. He had to believe that the words of Jesus were powerful enough to heal his servant. Now, let's talk about authority because this is critical here. This centurion understood authority. He was in the military, but he spoke with authority. And when you speak to your body, when you speak to the mountain, whatever it is, okay, use your authority. We've already won. We are already victorious. The devil has been defeated. It's past tense. He can't win unless we allow him to. This centurion spoke with authority. So this is also an important factor when we speak anything. We speak in faith and with understanding because we know we have assurance. We are confident that our speaking produces answers. Very important for us to understand this, okay? So we know that our words produce life or death. They can kill or they can produce the life. And so when it comes to healing, as you speak scriptures about healing, they will change the symptoms. They will turn things around. It may not be overnight, but it will happen. Your job, our job, is to stand and to believe and to continue to speak. We don't want doubt, we don't want fear, and we don't want unbelief. Amen? So in conclusion tonight, we looked at the importance of speaking the word of God. We know that there's power behind God's word. And the second part of the verse where it says we believe, therefore we speak, will give us the outcome of the supernatural, whatever it might be. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. We know that our words have power. Help us to fulfill your plans and purposes with the words that you give us. If you give us a rhema word, we will speak it. We speak to mountains to get out of our way, and we use our authority just like the centurion did, knowing that Jesus will do the healing. We are convinced. We acknowledge it. We know it. We are assured. So we thank you that you've given us the tools to always walk in victory and experience the impossible. You're the only God that can take an impossible situation and make it possible. You did it for Mary. You did it for Mary, but she believed you. She believed what the angel told her. She believed it, and it came to pass. We thank you, Father, you will do the same thing for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and all you have to do is repeat after me, and you can know that you will never spend a day in hell, but you will have the gift of eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do for us, was to give us eternal life. So just pray this after me. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified. He died. He was buried. But he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take over my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that all of my sins are forgiven. And I thank you for eternal life. Amen. That simple prayer that you spoke because you believed it first, you spoke it, has given you the gift of eternal life. So if you did that, we're going to put information up on the screen. We want to welcome you to the family of God, and we want to send you some information. You can reach us by email, by our phone, or by our website, and we want to get you started in the right direction. Every believer needs to be taught. It's like bringing the baby home from the hospital. You have to start off giving them the basics, okay? If you don't have a home church, we invite you to come to RLCC. You'll be taught, you'll be blessed, amen? And if that's a situation for you, then reach out to us and we'll be in touch with you.